David was finally crowned king, the shepherd king of all Israel. We read about it in 2 Samuel and chapter 5. David had done well, caring for the tribe of Judah. And when the rest of Israel saw how he achieved success, they were keen to join him. The psalmist put it like this in Psalm 78 and verse 70. He chose his servant David and took him from the sheepfolds, from tending the nursing ewes, and he brought him to be the shepherd of his people, Jacob, of Israel, his inheritance. With upright heart, he tended them and guided them with skillful hand. Jesus, in a parable, spoke about those who were wise in caring for little would be given much more to look after. The image of a shepherd is the one that captures our attention. The pastor, during my teenage years, had a brother who had been a shepherd, and I heard that he treated our city's football team when they had non-fracture injuries. His natural talent and the skills he had learned while practicing on the sheep, he was able to put into use to treat people. David had worked his way up too, faithful in small things. Remember Jesus talking about the parable said, the king said to him, "You've done a good job. You're a good servant. You've proved that you could be trusted with a little money. Now take charge of 10 cities." David never let Saul's personal animosity or hatred from others towards him become the focus of his attention. He constantly sought to strengthen himself, his army, and his followers. And then he set out to defeat any that would come against the settlements of Israel. This did not mean he was a self-sacrificing model of morality. He married several women and certainly had a comfortable lifestyle compared to many afterwards. There is no doubt that David would have had many annoying habits and characteristics, yet God had called him, so that settled the matter. Becoming deflected from the calling that God had given to us is a common preacher's theme. Wealth, fame, and sex are all quoted as causes, as well as the mention of famous cases of people who were not sidetracked and some who were sidetracked. But as for David, he kept his eye on the ball. The third anointing of David was the coronation that God had promised him. He could have felt the second coronation was sufficient, but no, he made it because of faithful men and women, some who supported him and some who challenged him, but all were for him. Often, when looking back on our lives, we feel we have, in comparison to many, achieved so little. Let's face it, if we are older, most of us have not achieved a fraction of that we wish to do. I've heard people who were made to retire saying that they had so much more to give, as well as people on their deathbeds feeling just the same. Perhaps we could compare ourselves to one of David's foot soldiers rather than David himself. Or than as being like the Apostle Paul, Mother Teresa, or Billy Graham, just one of their workers. If we were to take away all the people who worked with these famous people who were successful, maybe they would not have achieved a fraction of what they have done. David said he had a breakthrough. Here David had a realization of the beginning of victory. He had had many skirmishes with the enemy, especially with the Philistines, Now he had a breakthrough. In fact, he actually called it a breakout. In 1 Chronicles 14 and verse 11, it says he went up to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there. And David said, God has burst out or given me a breakout against my enemies by my hand like a bursting flood. Therefore, that place is called Baal Perazim. The word paras, or breakout, was used to speak of the rapid expansion of Abraham's family in Genesis 28. We might have many difficulties to overcome in life, but we too can experience a breakthrough. It might not mean that the fighting in our life has finished, but it is more a mopping up operation rather than a full-scale war. We believe God is with us and he will give us a breakthrough, or as David called it, a breakout. The Lord bless you. Amen.